us with your light. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, y'all. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, but more importantly, will do. Hoping, too, the weather was accommodating for you to do it. And I know that in many parts of this country, it was not. Storms and hot weather, just really dangerously hot weather. That's what's happening here in Hotlanta. And so, if it has to get done, it must get done. You will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Yeah. yeah. I was out of town last week, family. Sorry I missed you. I'm really sorry I missed Baba Kelsey's 100th birthday celebration. Excuse me again. Yeah, Baba Kelsey's birthday celebration, man. But Brother Kwaku was there and sent me some good pictures. And, you know, I know Dr. Mario Beatty out of Howard, who's the president of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and the vice president, Brother Gray Kamathi Carr, was also in attendance, and many others in our community here in Atlanta, in the conscious community here in Atlanta. It was held at Morehouse School of Medicine. Yeah. And Baba Kelsey's a wonder, man. He's strong. Good man. Man, I love that man. It's a lot of respect for him, him and his family. His lovely daughter, Dr. Reba Kelsey. His name is Mo Reba Kelsey. And, yeah, I wish I could have been there, but Brother Kwaku took pictures. Appreciate that, man. Yeah. The other things happening, well, I had to leave last week to go to Milwaukee and handle some things there, and picked up a vehicle and rode back with my lady, and she was handling it. Believe me, she was handling it. So I'm back, and gonna have a good week, I pray. Brother Irv will be my co-host this Friday, and Brother Muhammad will be my guest next Monday, wrapping up the month of June, which is American African Music Month. American African Music Month. We're going to talk about many genres of music that, of course, we have influenced, and more than likely talk about, too, the Sinners, because that dealt with the music of us, you know? That was a very deep movie. And if you haven't seen it, go check it out, Sinners. Today I'm going to talk about, are we at war Yeah, that's going to be the topic. But first, let's go through the preliminaries that we usually do here. Every morning. And with some announcements and so forth. And again, get off into the subjects. Read the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts and so forth. So, yeah. This is African Perspectives. We're once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And all times I'm going to give in our lineup are Eastern Times. On Thursdays, I don't know if they're still happening on Thursdays. I'm going to talk to Elliot. I was on the phone with Elliot, but I'm going to talk to him, see, try to get up most updated. But I've been, you know, if I don't get updated, then I'm continue to make these announcements. Yeah. Yep. On Thursdays from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Friday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, and I don't know if this is still the case, Pinkney to Pinkney on Sunday from 5 to 6. Activist Reverend Edward Pinkney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Oh, let me backtrack. I apologize to Brother Wes Johnson, but his program Monday and Wednesday from 7 to 9, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday and Wednesday, is Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. And Baba Wes Johnson's partner is Johnny. And I was on the program last night, on Elliot's program. And had great conversation with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny. And look forward to talking with them and having them on our program or me being on theirs. And that's going to be cool. So they're Monday and Wednesday from 7 to 9, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. here on Time for an Awakening. Sunday at 6 p.m. I usually was at 7, but he said it was 6 yesterday. So we started at 6 and we ended about 9 o'clock. 3 good hours of broadcasting. It was excellent. Good call-ins and so forth. So Sunday at 6 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Okay? And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack. WeBuyBlack.com. Yep. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taimba. He's going to take another group of our people home to the motherland on a trip of a lifetime. His upcoming trip. Well, he got back this month, June 5th, from Ghana. And then the next trip is November 20th to December 1st to Tanzania. And then next year, February 12th to February 23rd, 2026, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, Kemet. June 10th to June 22nd. 2026, Ghana, October 1st to October 12th, 2026, Kenya, November 19th to November 30th, 2026, Azania. Upcoming trips, Tanzania, April 1st to April 12th, almost the same time. Not really. April 1st to April 12th, 2027 in Tanzania. June 10th to June 22nd, 2027, Ghana. October, excuse me, September 30th to October 11th, 2027, Kenya. And November 18th to the 29th, November 18th to the 29th of 2027, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and check out for yourself what's happening. I mean, everything you need to make a trip of a lifetime is on the website. All the information is there. Give Brother Bomani a call. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And take that trip of a lifetime, family. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshaw Incorporated. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And the great work that the brothers and sisters of Habeshaw, what they do. And the Kashi Project that they created. The great work here they do here in Atlanta with sustainable agriculture. Check out Habeshaw Incorporated.org. LEDGE. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, Brother Peter Brown. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. They're doing an outstanding job in here. They have 12 different projects on the continent in 6 countries, over 170 employed, and over 260 members. They deal in the areas of human necessity, the essentials, food, water, clothing, and shelter. Check out the LEDGE Group, okay? The LEDGE Group, LEDGE.org. Our brother Nathaniel Jordan, I don't know if he's still in Kenya. He's been there quite a while doing good work. He is the Minister of Wellness. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. A lot of good information, products you can buy, and so forth. The Minister of Wellness. There's a couple of presentations that he's doing. Theministerofwellness.com. Okay. The Moses West Foundation. Brother, the Moses West Foundation is doing outstanding work providing what is most essential for human life and life on this planet. That is water. He's developed the atmospheric water generating machine. There's water all around his family. There is no shortage of water. The problem is access to water. Access to clean, drinkable water. That's the problem. There's water. And he's found ways to develop it. Put his machine down. His machine sucks up the H2O that is in the atmosphere. Goes through a filtration process. Open the tap up. Out comes drinking water. One of the things a few years ago, I asked Brother Apollo and Brother Moses West. There was a train derailment in Ohio, and a lot of toxins were spewed into the air. And could they come up with clean water in that environment? He said, yes, because the machine will only deal with the H2O molecule. Everything else will be kicked to the curb, and they will filterize that element, and then open the tap up, out comes clean drinking water. The Moses West Foundation, family, and the atmospheric water generating machine. Go online to MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. He's constantly seeking donations. He ain't talking about investments, no. He monetizing it. He ain't trying to get any. He's trying to provide water for the planet, water for where people truly need it. Even here in this country, in the modern USA, many people need water. Okay. Wadada is a healthy market and juice bar located here in the West End in Atlanta. And the transformation of the West End here in Atlanta, I know that yesterday's program, we talked about gentrification. And we talked about the populations, you know, in New Orleans, populations in other part cities that used to be pretty much predominantly American African cities are not that anymore. Yeah. Yeah, Atlanta used to be Chocolate City. Yeah, not anymore. But Wadada is right there in the West End, which is, of course, as I stated, being gentrified, unfortunately, but they're hanging on. Check out Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She has fine selections of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give my good sister Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. If you're looking for a book and she has it, hey, if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. Trust me. Okay? Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore that we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Take I-20, go east and exit 74. That's exit 74. That's Main Street in Lithonia. Make a left. You're going north for about a mile and a half. On the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Give my good brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the opposite direction now. You're going south. And when you come upon I-20, make another left. And now you're still going east. But the next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights. Make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. All right. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Not open on Mondays, but open Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And boy, Brother Beecher has it going on. He's got everything you need, man. Believe me. He has soaps, holistic health, furniture, clothing, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature. Man, he has it all. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's how that brother, he has it. You know, we do it all for you. So give Brother Beecher a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia has been doing great work on the island of Haiti in the forest area, providing health care and sustainable agriculture and all kinds of good stuff for the young brothers and sisters in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right. Okay. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, they're into a summer program that they got going on at the Akabin Institute. Believe me, they're always looking for the assistance of you. If you can provide it, donations are always welcome because they're independent totally. They get no funding and seek no funding from anything outside of our community. That's just how it is. And that's what we must do to be totally independent. The Inyasasim, I know I've missed a few days last week. I'm going to read one of the days that I missed,
which is the day before Juneteenth Day, which is June 11th. And then I'm going to catch up, and I'll catch up probably maybe Wednesday on some of the Inyasa's. And these are just Bubba Rudy's narratives are just gems, believe me. And some of the quotes are outstanding, well, especially this one I'm very familiar with. And this is Dr. Marlana Karinga. That's right, he created Kwanzaa back in the 60s. June 18th, until we break the monopoly that the oppressor has on our minds, liberation is not only impossible, it is unthinkable. For one, it is not likely to achieve what one cannot conceive. Let me read that again. That's one of my favorite quotes by Karinga. Until we break the monopoly that the European, the Caucasian, the white man, the cracker, Urugu, has on our minds, liberation is not only impossible, it is unthinkable. For one, it is not likely to achieve, or one cannot even conceive. Sometimes warriors intent on being African feel they're in a battle for their sanity against themselves. That voice and video projector in their head seem to be on autopilot, determined to force them into embracing non-African thoughts and images. At times, it can be most demoralizing, having to spend so much energy fighting against an insanity-driven rogue mind. Even worse, as we progressively become more African-centered, this mind becomes more determined and disrespectful, like a bad habit clinging desperately to its formerly compliant host. Seasoned warriors tell us to take this desperation as a sign of impending doom for this wayward consciousness. These disturbances to your African peace will begin to dramatically decrease with every focused effort to make or to wean yourself off of European insanity. Do not fault yourself for the difficulty. Recognize that to some degree, all warriors are recovering addicts, yes, sir, whose minds were held captive by the drug of European insanity. And with dealers all around, it is a habit hard to fully break. However, with creative knowledge of self and sufficient doses of revolutionary awareness, in time, the distractions will cease. You will again be free within yourself. Ashe. Affirm, I am not disarmed or distracted by the lull of insanity. Affirm, I am not disarmed or distracted by the lull of insanity. The Inyasa Sim. June 22nd. It took sheer determination to be able to run 100 yards. And remember all the mechanics that go along with it. It takes steady nerves and becoming a fighter to stay out there. Beautiful sister, Wilma Rudolph. That's right, 1960 Rome Olympics. I know my boy Muhammad Ali was trying to hit on her. Wilma Rudolph is fine. Indianapolis, Wilma Rudolph. We spoke in honor of those African warrior scholars who have consistently proven their worth. We speak in honor of those at whose feet we humbly sit and study, that we can learn how to be warriors, warriors for our people. We speak in honor of those jegnuts, the jegnot, that means plural, mentors, not mentor, you don't use the word mentor, no, jegna, and jegnot is jegnok. Is plural. We speak in honor of those Jegnak who know no way other than that of our ancestors, who have done and continue to do all and more in their power to confront, battle, and destroy any who would take the knowledge of the third eye from our children. We speak in honor of those who unhesitatingly fight, and will forever do battle for us, simply because we are their people, our children, and their children, our spirits, are one. We speak in honor of those who have unerringly paved the way on the battlefield, who made a way when we could not see for our ignorance and near comatose submission, We stood alone when we were too afraid or ignorant to answer the war horn. This praise song is for those who, since consciousness, have not committed treason against our ancestors, who have consistently stayed on the revolutionary path of those who are deeply dedicated, uncompromising warrior scholars, who honor our ancestors through everything they say and everything they do. Baba Kelsey, brothers and sisters, that's why he deserves to be recognized. He deserves a 100-year celebration. He's that kind of warrior. Affirm, I honor the African warrior scholars who have proven their worth. Affirm, I honor the African warrior scholars who have proven their worth. June 23rd. Oppression should be shouted down like a bully on the playground, or given a beat down like a rapist. Chinchelli. It is not a matter of blaming Europeans. It is a matter of understanding they are to be blamed. By no means are they now or then innocent. If it were not for them, we would not have reason to be angry at each other for what we have allowed to happen to us. If we want to distill it down to a matter, it is a matter of them starting it and us finishing it. This is how warriors, whose revolutionary, uncompromising souls, who we are keenly aware of, that their people have been unjustly attacked, think and act. Ashe, affirm, I understand that Europeans are to blame. Brothers and sisters, if you heard me, I always say I put the blame where it squarely belongs. Many people that want to blame ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. You know I hate that. I hate that with a passion. We're our own worst enemy. No, brothers and sisters, the blame squarely belongs on Europeans. They are to blame. And sometimes when we cannot get our minds on to thinking about unity and get our minds thinking about working together, that's because the battle that we have within us, that the Europeans has instilled in us, continue to fight against that. So, speaking of fighting, yeah, America is at war. Is America at war? I mean, you know, Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an idiot, man. Yeah. Netanyahu's been trying to get the United States involved because, you know, Israel's a pimp. America's its hoe. I hate to make it and crash words such as that, but that's the bottom line. Yeah. Yep. Robert Reich, a Caucasian who, so a little dude that was in the Clinton administration financially. And of course, since Trump has been on the scene since the mid last decade, 2014, 2015, going into the election of 2016, Robert Reich has been on him big time and warning. And yet these things fall on deaf ears because what Trump was able to do, because he's hired the, you know, those masterminds, because it ain't his mind. That's for damn sure. Man. I'm going to read a couple of pieces dealing with Trump. One is The Dogs of War, What Really Is Going On. The United States is now at war with Iran. A single person, Donald J. Trump, has released the dogs of war on one of the most dangerous countries in the world and done it without the consent of Congress, our allies, or even a clear explanation to the American people. Anyone who has dubbed Trump's intentions to replace American democracy with a dictatorship should not be fully disturbed. Yeah. He keeps saying that and when you go to war, the only entity in this country supposedly who can go to war and declare war is, right, Congress. Congress. I share your despair, sadness, and fear. Just a week ago, Saturday, millions of us gathered in solidarity against Trump and for democracy, the rule of law, and social justice. These demonstrations fail as they occurred years ago. These demonstrations feel as they did years ago. Last night, I spoke with a number of people experienced and knowledgeable about American foreign policy and politics. Here in brief is what I asked and what I learned. Why is Trump taking us into war with Iran? Is it possible that he believes the attacks give him more bargaining leverage with Iran? But a more likely explanation is that the attacks fit perfectly with Trump's desire to divert attention from his multiple failures at home. The on-again, off-again tariffs that have spooked financial markets while eliciting no meaningful concessions from other nations, especially China. China ain't give a damn thing. Any imagination, crackdown that has been stymied by federal judges, the so-called big, beautiful bill that is in deep trouble in the Senate, Trump's embarrassing tiff with Musk, his failures to achieve peace in either Ukraine or Gaza, and last week's record-breaking No Kings demonstration compared to his military parade. Besides, there's nothing like a war to help a winnable dictator like Trump justify more emergency powers. Number two. Is or was Iran building a nuclear weapon? Okay, well. No one knows for sure. In March, Tulsi Gabbard, director of the National Intelligence, testified before Congress that the intelligence community continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon. I repeat, Iran was not building a nuclear weapon. And Supreme Leader Khomeini has not authorized a nuclear weapons program that he suspended in 2003. Iran's growing stockpile of enriched uranium could allow it to produce enough fusible material for a nuclear weapon. Experts differ in how long Iran could need to make a usable nuclear weapon out of the fusible material. In fact, of such uncertainty, it is useful to recall George W. Bush's claims of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction that proved to be bogus. At a cost of 4,431 American lives, 31,000 Americans wounded in action, and an estimated 295 Iraqis' lives lost. George W. Bush, serious war crimes. And you know the 9/11 piece that I talk about every year and have been talking about since I've been on radio, because I've been talking against the 9/11 as an inside job almost from day one, family. I'm a retired firefighter. Never in the history have buildings gone down because they were hit by a plane. Never. So we got a few more months before we're going to deal with that. But, man, all those lives lost. George W. Bush and him and Michelle Obama have yucking it up and so forth. Man, it's a criminal. He is a true war criminal and should be brought before the courts, just like Hitler. Just like any other war criminal. Just like Trump. Is Trump getting good information and good advice? Unlikely, he told reporters on Friday that Gabbard was wrong to say that Iran is not currently building a nuclear weapon, but he didn't say where he was getting his intelligence information from. In May, Trump fired his national security advisor, Mike Schultz, and dismissed half the professionals at the National Security Council. The Mideast section went from 10 staffers to 5. Trump is being advised on Iran by a close-knit group of political advisors and ideologues, none of whom have kept knowledge of Iran or the Middle East. All are totally loyal to Trump. They include J.D. Vance, the vice president, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Chiefs of Staff Susie Wells, Deputy Chiefs of Staff Stephen Miller, Steve Witkoff, Trump's envoy in the Middle East, who was formerly a luxury real estate developer, Lieutenant General Dan Retz, now serving as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Eric Killer, the gorilla killer. The head of U.S. Central Command, John Ratcliffe, CIA director who served in the first Trump administration and was previously a Texas congressperson and a mayor of a small town, Steve Bannon. As a result, he probably is getting decent advice about what's good for Trump, but not about what's good for America or the world. It's an inevitable consequence of purging from the government anyone who would be loyal to Trump than to him. Besides, Trump only listens to information he wants to hear. A dictator. Will Iran now cave and agree to destroy its remaining stockpiles of enriched uranium and allow inspectors to confirm that the stockpile is gone? No. Not one of the experts I spoke to thought this likely. Iran doesn't trust the United States or Israel, and it doesn't want to give up its potential nuclear capabilities. And I don't blame them. Israel and the United States, liars. Number 5, have the bombings wiped out Iran's capacity to enrich uranium to produce fusible material for nuclear weapons? Unlikely. Trump claims that the facilities were completely and totally obliterated. They were obliterated. But who trusts Trump to tell the truth or to be told the truth? They were beautiful. We wiped them out beautifully. Man, Trump is... Iran has buried its uranium enrichment facilities deep underground, and I know there were these bunker busters, weapons that were supposed to have been used. You know, they're buried deep underground, distributed to them in many locations. Iranian officials acknowledged 3 sites were attacked, but did not describe the extent of the damage. In any event, America does not have good intelligence about how long it will take Iran to get the 3 targeted sites back to running again. What's the worst Iran can do to the United States in retaliation? Well, it could wholly or partly choose the Straits of Hormuz, a vital waterway through which a fifth of global oil must pass. While not completely closed during these past conflicts, Iran possesses the capability to significantly disrupt and halt traffic with mines, anti-ship missiles, and air defense systems. This could cause oil prices to soar and European helping big oil, but not American consumers. Iran could also engage in a range of terrorist attacks, terrorist actions toward the United States. No one knows the extent of any sleeper cells in the U.S. or in Europe. The mere possibilities would give Trump more license to restrict civil liberties. Yeah. Anybody who looks suspicious, anybody who looks Arab. Will American public rally around the flag and support Trump in this war? Some Americans clearly will, but a drawn-out war in Iran will deeply be unpopular. A recent YouGov poll found that only 16% of Americans thought the U.S. military should get involved in the conflict between Israel and Iran. 60% said it should not. Trump possesses no foreign entanglements and lower consumer prices, but this war could prove to be the largest foreign entanglement in years, and the tax will almost certainly raise the price of oil, no doubt. Will he send American troops? On balance, the experts I consulted with thought Trump eventually would send troops in if Iran retaliated and the conflict escalated. Last night, he explicitly threatened more action against Iran if it did not return to the diplomatic efforts. If they do not make peace, future attacks will be far greater and a lot easier. More than any time else, Trump has an abiding need to save face. He hates to lose. He thinks nothing more than the conflict. He was willing to send active military into California to stop trumped up protests. He's likely to be willing to send them into Iran. The war will not be over quickly. Iran and its extensive network in the Middle East could keep hostilities going for months or even years at the substantial cost of human life. Yeah. What Congress likely will do now? I hope Democrats will use the War Powers Act to force a vote on the war, putting Republican lawmakers in the awkward position of voting for a war that's immensely unpopular and could easily go very badly. Bonus question. What does the phrase dogs of war come from? Shakespeare. Shakespeare's plays in Julius Caesar, in which Mark Anthony in Act 3, Scene 1 says, "Cry havoc, I let slip the dogs of war," signifying that war releases chaos and violence. Cry havoc and let's slip the dogs of war. Now that the bombing has begun, there's no telling where it's all going to end. Be strong, be safe, and hug your loved ones. Robert Reich. Well, we got 7 minutes before break. Let us do this. Trump. What I fear Trump will do with this war. One of my main goals in writing this letter to you every day is to alert you to the dangers to our democracy so you can alert others. And by this means, we enlarge to strengthen our bulwark against the tide of fascism. Wars possess particular challenges to democracy because nations at war often become more xenophobic and willing to give those in power extra leeway to protect the homeland. That's an underlying danger in Trump's war with Iran. Trump has already tried to use three pretenses to usurp power: terrorism, national emergency, and war itself, to justify this mass deportation on universal terrors and consolidations of power. And he has tried to use these to gain legal legitimacy under law that gives presidents additional power when the nation is threatened. Federal courts and public opinion haven't allowed him to go as far as he wished. But if Trump's war with Iran escalates, which is almost certain to do if Iran retaliates, courts may be reluctant to impede the commander-in-chief and the public may be willing to let it go. To let it go along. I fear that Trump's war with Iran will enable him to use these three pretexts, terrorism, national emergency, and war, to further suppress dissent at home, narrow freedom of speech and expression, make warrantless searches and seizures of Americans, imprison opponents, and put more military on the streets of this country. Terrorism, the use of terrorism has already begun in bulletin issues just yesterday by the National Terrorism Advisory System within the Department of Homeland Security. Warns of a heightened threatened environment in the United States, allowing the U.S. military strikes on Iran's nuclear site. The bulletin notes that the U.S. law enforcement has disrupted multiple potentially lethal uranium-backed plots in the United States since 2020 and goes on to warn of Iranian retaliation for Sunday morning's attack. Surely, Iran is planning retaliation. During a Sunday phone call with French President Macron, Iranian President insisted that the United States receive a response to the aggression, according to Iran's official news agency, as reported by the Times of Israel, the Israel Times. Any retaliation by Iran will be used by Trump to justify an intensifying crackdown on terrorism. Even before Trump's attack on Iran, he appropriated the term terrorist to describe various groups he deemed threats to the United States, including drug cartels and immigrants. Trump framed the rendition of Venezuelans to El Salvadorians as a necessity to protect the U.S. from the scourge of terrorism. And he described fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction, you know. So he was trying to talk about Venezuelans, but of course talk about El Salvador and, of course, terrorism and the use of fentanyl. Now that we are at war with Iran, expect Trump to use the rhetoric of terrorism far more often, and the Department of Homeland Security to lead the charge against these threats. National emergencies. In his first 100 days in office, Trump declared 8 national emergencies, far more than any other modern president in the same period of time. By comparison, Biden declared 11 national emergencies over the whole 4 years of his term. Obama declared 12 in his 8 years. Bush declared 14 in 2 terms. The declaration of a national emergency automatically allows a president to use emergency powers in laws intended by Congress to be utilized rarely when the nation is seriously imperiled. Trump has been using such so-called emergencies to achieve domestic priorities more quickly than he had been able to do if he tried to pass those laws through Congress. You see, usurp Congress and use these national emergencies. Man, the pattern began in his first term when he declared a national emergency to help fund the southern border wall after Congress didn't approve the full amount. He declared his declaration of invasion of the southern border paved the way to intensify deportations. Trump's declaration of an economic emergency in April, based on the nation's trade deficit, which has existed for decades, enabled him to impose unprecedented global tariffs. An energy emergency made it easier for him to ease environmental regulations. His pronouncements that fentanyl entering from Canada was an emergency provided legal justification for sanctions against Canada, as did a similar finding of the International Criminal Court's approach to Israel. Trump invoked a national emergency to justify sending the National Guard to Los Angeles at a time when the state and local officials said they had the protests under control. He, had he not federalized the National Guard, Trump said the Los Angeles would have become completely obliterated. He likes that word. Trump's stream of emergency declarations has also contributed to a sense of that America is facing perpetual crises under threat from foreign nations and domestic enemies. Trump thrives in this atmosphere, adopting the role of fighter and savior. His war with Iran will fuel even more national emergencies and the legal authority to accomplishment. Man, war. Trump has tried to use the 1798 Alien and Enemies Act to justify his mass deportations without due process, but unsuccessfully in the courts because the act allows a president to detain and remove nationals of any enemy nation only during a declared war, an invasion, or predatory incursions against the United States. The law was invoked only 3 times before Trump, each during a war declared by Congress. The War of 1812 against the UK, World War I, and World War II, each gave the United States government heightened powers to remove from the U.S. nationals of parties it was fighting. It was used during World War II to justify the internment of Japanese. It was used to justify the internment camps of Japanese Americans, and has since become synonymous with some of the nation's most shameful civil liberties violations. Trump's attempt to use these centuries-old statutes to conduct mass removals outside of immigration law with no hearings or no judicial review has been another authorization power grab, posing grave threats to civil liberties and the rule of law. On April 7th, the Supreme Court reaffirmed that people targeted by Trump under the Alien Enemies Act must be given notice and an opportunity to challenge their removal, including arguments over the law's constitutionality and application. Yet, a war with Iran may be enough to seemingly legitimize this act. In addition, Trump has not ruled out invoking the Insurrections Act, which allows the deployment of active duty U.S. military personnel within the United States in cases of unrest and rebellion, a prospect also made more likely when the nation is at war. Trump wants to be a war president. Everything he has done to date has been aimed at concentrating power in the hands and undermining democratic institutions, which are far easier to do as a war president. I write this not to worry about or depress you. The purpose that I'm writing this is to encourage you to be extra vigilant in guarding against Trump's further use of these 3 pretenses to erode democracy and to attack our freedoms. Wars almost always challenge civil liberties. Given Trump's record, that challenge would be enormous. Be strong, be safe. Richard Wright. Yeah. We're going to take a break, family. Yeah, we need a break. War, what is it good for? Well, you know, they said absolutely nothing, but, you know, war can change a number of things for the betterment, you know, especially for us. You know, we can a good place war, and, you know, where we can begin to rid ourselves of all the bull, and we do that, and now we start fresh. You know, that could happen. That's what should happen on the continent. Because I believe that many of those people aren't getting out of there. the Germans in Namibia, the crackers in South Africa, the Indians in Uganda, all of them, the Arabs in the northern part of Africa. But that's another subject. Let us take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more discussion and we'll open the phone lines up to you. And of course, you give us a call at 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Drums, please.
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. See what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout, it looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, apply from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Summertime. Will Smith. Jazzy Jeff. Yeah, summertime. 1991
and Cool and the Gang, Summer Madness, 1974. Yeah. Summer Madness is what I'm about to experience in the next few weeks. It's especially here, it is extremely hot and humid. So, but that's pretty much, and we've experienced that many times before across this country, so. But really, it's tough. These weather extremes, and I've talked about climate change many times on this program and the weather extremes that are happening because of the people who want to maintain a situation, you know, that brings them money for short term and doesn't think of the long term consequences and implications of that mindset and that behavior. Yeah. So anyway, you're listening to African Perspectives. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today. Well, whatever you want to talk about. We did a piece from Robert Reich on Is America, well, as I titled it, Is the USA at War? And because they don't want to perceive that's what the U.S. is. But it seems like Trump wants to do that. He wants to get the country into a war. Just as I read what Reich said, I mean, there are many things that he can do if the country's at war that does not, you know, depend upon Congress's approval. Now, Congress is supposedly the only one that can declare war and get America into a war. But, of course, Trump came in not wanting to deal with nobody but him and the people who he has surrounded himself with, his cabinet, all those proclamations and so forth. Yeah. So he, I don't want to hear nothing nobody else got to say. I'm doing this the way I want to do it. That's Trump. That is Donald J. Trump. Can't stand his ass. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Good afternoon. Hey, it's my brother. It's birthday, brother.
Good afternoon. Hell yeah.
That's right.
I'm another year older, man.
That's right.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, dear brother. Go ahead on.
Yeah.
Birthday, like brother.
I can drink now. But anyway, Baba OG, Donald J. Trump, the J stands for jerk. But he's you know, to have a conversation about Donald Trump is interesting, and you get to express a lot of things that you want to say. But let's get past the name calling, let's get past the frustration with what he's doing, and let's take a deep dive into really what's going on here. The United States has always been for sale. Everybody knows that. This is United States Incorporated. Everything is for sale. Our politicians is for sale. The land is for sale. Everything here runs on a capitalistic concept. And capitalism works off of someone being exploited. There's no everybody doesn't win in capitalism. Someone has to cut the grass. Somebody has to pick the lettuce. Somebody has to watch the children. And that's how capitalism thrives. Now, there are different systems around the world that people run their countries by, but the reason capitalism to me is so evil is because there's no moral fiber in capitalism. In other words, capitalists live in a constant state of hypocrisy. They live in a constant state of, I'm doing you a favor. I'm helping you out. Donald Trump ran on a savior complex. I'm going to save you. Where did we hear that before? Mm. Where did we hear that somebody's going to come and save you? You know he's coming back like he said he would, because that's what Al Green told us. Mm-hmm. So the reality is, we were already set up for the concept of saviorism. We were already waiting. Even the white people, the white Christians are the white nationalist Christians. Let's call them nationalist Christians, because black people are better Christians than white people will ever be. But you know, you didn't hear one thing from the Southern Baptist Christians, the Southern Baptist Conference. You didn't hear nothing from the mega preachers. You don't hear anything from anybody jumping out here saying, let's stop killing these children in Gaza with American taxpayer dollars. Mm. No one's saying that. Mm. And you know, Trump's whole thing with trying to stoke fear in the people, that's wearing thin. The whole, I gotta invoke this emergency because the world's gonna come to an end. Stop, Trump. You dropped the bomb on them. They didn't drop a bomb on you. You dropped the bomb on a nuclear site, which makes no sense at all. Because if it does hit where you want it to hit, and the radiation leaks, now you're responsible for that land being poisoned for the next 20 years. Not only that, if it leaks to another country, because they're all bolted up together there, to another country, now those people are infected with radiation.
Sure.
So, Donald Trump, so you really aren't helping yourself. You're not helping anyone. And the reality is, Donald Trump knows who the enemy is. He knows who is pushing the buttons, who's the puppet, the kingmaker. And it's China. See, everything comes from, the magnets come from China. China, while we're sitting here building stealth bombers and nuclear bombs, China was building infrastructure. They were building railways. They were building factories. They were doing things to help their people become a strong people, not just on paper, but in reality. So what is really happening here is the chickens have pretty much come home to roost with Americans. The lie that they live, America, the brave and the brave and beautiful, what? Bala Oji.
It is a facade. It is. They put it up there. It's all that. Yeah.
It's all a show. And the curtain is falling on this show because what's happening, this is one of the youngest civilizations in the world. And they're going down the tube so fast. The dollar is becoming worthless. The fear that someone's going to attack the United States, the only reason the United States has not been really attacked is because they're detached from Europe. If the United States was in Europe, connected, where they could actually drive over to it, the United States would have been attacked a long time ago with the attitude that they have now that they're superior. And the United States may be superior in some things, but when you have no moral fiber, and I learned this through studying about Africa. Africans ruled the world at one time. We know it and they know it. Africa ruled everything. Every people came to Africa to learn about religion. Ethiopian Christians were here way before these fake Christians and these Ashkenazi Jews and all that foolishness. There were Jews in Africa a long, long time ago. And they had brown skin, like they looked like me. But for some reason, when the Jews went to Europe, they got whitened. And I don't know how that happened. I've been to Europe. I didn't get whitened. So the reality is, when you start to lose your grip, when you start to not be able to control things the way you've always controlled them, when you start posturing different, and if you notice, the United States is moving different. They move towards some strong man. Because that's what happened. It's the same thing happened in Germany. Germany moved to a strong man. France moved to a strong man. Somebody talks tough, you know, because it's tough. But see, what happens is there's a price to pay for him. There's a price to pay because as soon as he says your son or your grandson has to go and fight in a war in Afghanistan or in a Vietnam or in a South Korea, and we can keep going in Libya, Or boots on the ground. What the hell does that mean? What is boots on the ground? Because from what I see, the Wounded Soldiers organization, these people are coming back with no legs. Mm-hmm. They're coming back with no arms. And this ain't just for the commercial or for the day. This is forever. They have to sit in a wheelchair forever. Think about for a second, sitting down in the chair forever. Nothing. You don't get up tomorrow. We ain't going to go to the gym. We can't go do things. We got to sit in there. If we go, we got to take this chair with us. So the price that's being paid is not me watching Donald Trump go play golf at Mar-a-Lago or me watching all these hoodoo heads that he put in office tell him things, and he does not even listen to them. Or he wants you to believe he's not listening to them. But the guy, every time he opens his mouth, he lets you know how much that he doesn't know. You know, and but the thing is, it's not Donald Trump that I'm truly upset with. I'm upset with the people who manipulated this country to put him in office. Those are the people that you should be looking at. Don't look at him. Look at the people behind him. Look at all the incompetent people he put in charge of these agencies, and you can see how incompetent they are. Mm-hmm. Because they're not making any sense. They're mimicking or marking everything he says. We're going to do this, and they say the same exact thing.
Right,
because
right.
Because they're scared. They're scared, and they believe that this money that they're making is going to take them somewhere that they want to be. But Baba Osho, you know, like I know, wealth is health.
Yeah,
you can have all the money in the world, but if you need a kidney, you're on dialysis. Liver problems, it doesn't make any difference how much money you have. It doesn't go with you. I've never seen an armored truck behind a hearse, and I probably never will. You come with nothing, mm-hmm. you leave with nothing. And these yep. white people seem to not understand that. You know, and Baba Osho, one more thing before I get off. Everything in this world, the world is a circle because everything goes around in a circle. We start out on our backs. Can't walk, can't talk, and we end up on our backs, not being able to talk, not being able to walk, if we live long enough, you know, because this world will cut your life short in a heartbeat. And a lot of our young men and young women's lives are being cut short because of their drug addiction and all the devices, the weed is legal, alcohol, all these things take away from our young people. They take away from our future. And the future is the young people. We're, like I told you before, we've had conversations. I will never, ever see complete, total liberation of my people. But what I will do is I will see things like Ibrahim Touré. I will see people like the Asau, the people in Asau states. I saw that. I thought I would never see them change the street from Prince Albert Street to an African name. You know, in Ouagadougou.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the street. They changed the national language from French to Swahili or the African language.
Yeah.
And those are the things that white people are afraid of, because that's taking the chains off the mind. That's not taking the chains off your hand. That's taking the chains off your mind. You start to think different. And if you think different, you do different. Baba Osho,
you act
thank
no
you for
doubt.
Letting me speak.
No,
brother.
Right on, my brother. Look, appreciate those remarks.
Friday, I'll be here Friday. Hopefully we can do the show, and my God, by then we got so much to talk about now. But shit, the way things are going, by you like me, I'm a sports enthusiast. But you know, I didn't say anything about sports, even though the biggest game of the year was on last night, basketball. Oklahoma won the game.
Yeah,
but that's really not important to me right now.
Right,
because what's important to me is the uplifting of my people. Because if one person is doing well, that's fine, but we can't rise any higher than the condition of our people. And I truly believe that. So I believe the basketball was fine, baseball, I love looking at it, but we got things to do.
Right.
And if we don't put these things that we have to do on the front burner, we're going to be consumed by these white folks. And they are eating us for lunch. And now I want our brothers and sisters to stand up, say something, say something, even if you don't agree with me, say something, and let's have a conversation so that we can move forward. We all know the problems. I don't want to get on this station and tell you what we're doing wrong. Yeah, we did wrong, but God damn it, they've done evil.
Right.
And evil is next level wrongness, if that's the word.
They took next level wrongness. All right.
Bob, right, let brother. Me put me right on mute, and I'm listening, brother.
Right
yes,
on.
Sir.
Appreciate you, dear brother. Right
appreciate
on.
You,
yeah, man, Brother Irv. Yep, you'll be my co-host this Friday. We'll talk about a number of things, and he said some things a minute ago that are real and challenging for us. You know, there are some things that we can do. One of the things that we can do is work on our minds. We are at war for the minds of our people.
if we knew better, we'd do better. But a lot of times, a lot of us don't want to know because of the pressure for us to do better. So they rather remain in ignorance. They rather remain in a state of compliance as opposed to challenging themselves in this system that have captivated our minds for centuries. And always challenged us. As long as we're in this, we can never be who we should be, who we could be, but more importantly, who we must be to get up out of it. It can't happen as long as we're in it. Now, while we're in it, there are things that we can do. We can change our minds. We can work on one another and help others to do the same. There is no doubt about it that we need to take control of our educational process for our children's sake. The public schools in this system, the charter and choice and in private schools in this system, all of these institutions are designed to help to maintain and sustain the privilege that Urugu, the Caucasians, the Europeans, the white man has created for themselves. And you know, I don't even want to talk to their ass about nothing because it's fruitless. It doesn't do anything. What you have to say don't mean a damn thing to who they are and what they want to do. You can speak truth. What is that term? Speak truth to power. I hate that bad. Another thing that Brother Oshie hates. I hate to speak. We speak in truth to power or at a seat at the table. I'm giving them having a seat at their damn table. The hell with their table. Let's have a strategizing seat at our table where we figure all of this madness out and how we're going to get up out of it and how we're going to rise and be masters of our destiny to reclaim and recapture and restore what we have done and what we can still do. Brother Irv said it that one time, it was us. People came from far and wide to sit at our feet. It is us. We have been influencing governments in the world for centuries, millennium. But 500 or 600 years ago, it changed. It changed. Racism. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege became the norm. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, man? Turn that background noise down, please. Thank you, sir.
Hey, what's happening, OT?
How you doing, Jay?
Put me on mute for a minute.
All right, brother. All right. Whew. That background noise is about to kill me. You get it together, Jay, as soon as you can, man. All right. But, you know, I think that what Marcus Garvey was the closest one to having a world revolution in the contemporary sense. He was the closest one. You know, when you can go in the early 1900s and fill up Madison Square Garden, not the new garden, so to speak, but over 20-some thousand people, and we stayed there for days hammering out what the Universal Negro Improvement Association was going to be about and how we're going to change these dynamics. We stayed there for days to come up with a plan to change the dynamics of what's happening to African people. We need a situation where we come together.
Hey, Oshie, I'm back.
Okay, Jay, go ahead, brother. How you doing, man?
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I was in the other room.
All right.
Hey, listen, man. Marcus Garvey is one of the true leaders.
No doubt.
That has a plan and a vision that till this day is being used by other nations.
Yep.
Other people are using the basis of Marcus Garvey's plan to move forward.
Yes, and you're right, they
are. It's amazing. It's amazing how we as a people are not using the plan of Marcus Garvey, but we are always bringing up Garvey, Malcolm, and King. It's like, to be honest with you, brother, it seems that we are stagnated in that vision of the past. What we have not done is really formulate new ideas and new visions to move us forward to the future. If I was to be in a situation to put forward a new vision, my vision would be to connect with some place over in the motherland and build something here and something there so that the people that don't want to leave here and the people that would like to leave here and go home would be able to communicate and work with each other and just deal with our development as a people. Because I will say this to my bitter end, brother. African people here are not moving forward, man. I'm sorry, but we as a collective people, we're not moving here because we have too much love and desire and need to be loved by the white man.
Yeah.
We have too much loyalty.
Yeah, his acceptance.
Him.
His acceptance is still something we desire to have.
I mean, just look at what's going on right now with this situation over in Iran with Israel and all that. I just ask this fundamental question. What goddamn business is it of mine? This country doesn't treat me no better than they treat the people in Iran and any place else in the world. And they allow genocide and all of these things. We as a people have to figure out where is our loyalty and what is our loyalty? Is our loyalty to America? And I ask you why, when America ain't got no goddamn love or loyalty for you. Why do you think people on the continent are not gravitating to America, but are gravitating towards Russia and China? Why do you think when they look to have someone build infrastructure and all of that on the continent, why do you think they're going to China for that? Because if you look at the infrastructure development of China and America, no comparison. There's not an ounce of comparison in infrastructure development between America and China. It takes way, 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 way less time to build infrastructure by China than it do by America. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Let's stop playing games. The only thing America has, and they think they have it, but they really don't, is weaponry. They're behind China in technology and basically every other developmental facet in the world. They're not ahead of China in space or anything else. No, brother, we've been duped, hoodwinked, and fooled. China, even though they may be a so-called communist country and all of this and all of that, they're developing their nation. And you know China has way more people than America. But look at the developing the growth of China compared to this shithole here. No, brother, we got to have a worldview. You got to understand why you have places like Burkina Faso trying their best to separate from America. Mm-hmm. To separate from all of these other, like what they're doing to France. Every day, and let me tell you this, and you know it better than most. Every day, China is trying to figure out how to kill Tehran. Every day, they're trying to figure out how to kill Tehran.
Who, China? You know why? No, not China.
Because
China's not.
No. France is trying to figure out.
Europe is trying to do it. Yes, right. Tehran. Yeah.
Because he's destroying them economically.
Right.
They can't take advantage of him now. Tehran, the best thing Tehran ever done, as far as I'm concerned, is to nationalize the resources of the country and make sure that they get a majority of the profits from their product.
Sure.
They're letting it be the other way around.
Right on.
So that's all I'm saying, bro. I'm just saying that we as a people have to change our way of thinking and figure out how we as an African people are going to survive on the planet. And what are we going to define ourselves as a people, as Americans or as Africans? Because the reality is America is crumbling,
yes,
man.
Yes, it is, of course. And it is going to fall by its own weight because of its sustained greed. It's sustained,
and you know, immorality. So right about that. And I'll tell you how America gets down in the value of America. I was looking this morning at some of my accounts, and since this clown I've been in office, I ain't even gonna lie, my net worth has decreased by around 15%. And it probably would have been more if I hadn't structured things a certain way. Just think about that. So if I'm losing money, don't you think everybody else is losing money?
Mm-hmm.
Don't, especially if you got certain things tied up in the market and things of that nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You losing money. And that's basically honest. Everybody in America, and you know what the real deal is? Within the next couple of months, depending on what's going on with this Middle East nonsense, you're going to be losing even more money. Yeah. Because food prices are going to go up.
Gas prices
are going to go up. They done already started.
Yeah.
the gas prices, and wages are not going up. Matter of fact, if the truth be told, jobs are being lost. Mm-hmm. No, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And the sad thing is, the good thing that I have going, as I say, is I have a group of five friends that we collectively work together to make the necessary purchases.
Right on. Well, that's good.
So we'll buy a whole cow, we'll buy a whole lamb, and we'll share it.
Yeah.
These are the type of things that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to set up small co-ops and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be figuring out, how we could collectively work with one another to build small patches. Because this situation here in America is about to get hellish and bad, brother.
Yeah, I agree. At least I feel the same way, Jay. I appreciate you, brother.
Let somebody else get in, and I'll be listening. Just put me on mute.
All right, brother. Peace. Good afternoon. Hey, what's up, Brother Ralph?
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, man.
That was beautiful what you brothers did last night, and you need to
right
do
on.
It more often.
I appreciate that.
You know
Thank
what I mean?
You. Yeah.
But we were talking about solutions and how we can free our mind. And I'm going to tell you something, how we can free our minds right now. And I'm going to keep beating this drum until some of us get it. Leave the Democratic Party plantation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Leave the Roland Martins, the Jamal Bryant, all those talking heads, leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let, and that don't mean you join the Republican plantation.
Hell no, no.
You become an independent thinker.
That's right.
And you become independent.
Right.
Because right now, Brother Oshie, what's being revealed to me is Great Britain is still and the central bank is still the mastermind.
Right, they're still in control.
In
yes.
these wars.
Yes.
They're still the master, the Rothschilds, they're still the Roosevelt, they're still the masterminds behind anything. And they could put their little minions out there to divide our people, to let our people know, like, look, Trump is so bad. Oh, man, look, this guy is so bad. Oh, we got to get Jasmine Crockett in there, who's nothing but another controlled slave. Man, if we don't get our heads out of our asses and become independent thinkers, and these buildings, these religious buildings, we need to go up in there and we need to tell the people the truth, regardless of how offended, I do it all the time, regardless of how offended they may become, because nobody likes to be woke up. When you wake up too early, you're angry, you're grouchy, you're nasty. So go in there and make some of them people hate you. Because, like, and I'm not going to take up too much time, but you ask for something short and sweet we can do, leave that Democratic plantation.
Right.
Stop repeating the stuff the Roland Martins, the Al Sharptons, the Jamal Bryants, and the Jasmine Crocketts are saying. Leave that garbage alone and become independent thinkers. Because I'm telling you, that you heard Brother West last night. Yes. We had an independent group. But it was demolished because some of those slaves could not remove themselves from the
right.
Democratic
Party
plantation, man. So, you know, I'm just saying, brother, there are some things we can do that are very basic, like just going to the computer and changing your party affiliation to independent.
Yep.
To show Massa that we're ready to leave his plantation. Then maybe after that, we can get to the whole motherland with an independent mind instead of worrying about what these talking heads are talking about. So, you know, it just makes me, and I'm going to share this real quick. Malcolm says, when you become loyal to a party that puts you last, you're not only, what do you say? You're not only a political chump, you're a traitor to your race.
Right on.
A traitor. So yeah. I'm just going to repeat what my brother said until somebody get it. That's all I have, brother. You enjoy your day, man.
You too, Brother Ralph. Appreciate you as always, man. You know,
appreciate you too, bro. All right,
peace. Good afternoon, or good evening, or good night, or good morning. Where you at, man? Brother Paul, are you there? Brother Paul, you there, man? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, Baba Ochi, how are you today?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you doing, brother?
Yes, alive and kicking. Good. Giving thanks for life always, Baba.
Yes.
Baba Ochi, I know we ain't got a lot of time, so I'm just going to get straight into it. I must say that last week I was in contact with some with a particular brother on the continent, and they were preparing to go for a march against Ruto. Planning to
against Ruto in
Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a young brother, very active activist. You know, and it's you know, actually speaking to someone like that, a Pan-Africanist who's on the ground. I felt the need to warn him. I mean, he's very enthusiastic. His words was that, you know, we're going to get Ruto out of power.
Okay.
Wow. And I thought about it. And I said to him, look, brother, you know, these people, they don't care about you. They really don't care. They don't care if you live. They don't care if you die. I'm talking about the African continent, speaking to an African on the continent Thursday. I said, you know, people are disappearing right where you live. You know that, don't you? And he said, yeah. I said, 2 weeks ago, they locked you up. And the week before that, one of your brothers disappeared and he's now dead. This is how they love you or don't love you. So, you know, I understand being an activist and I understand keeping it real. But you're doing a good job. I mean, the brother articulates his position so fantastically. We have him on the radio quite regular, just doing a fantastic job. And, you know, I said, you know, I don't want you to lose your life for these people because they really don't care about you. They're on a mission. You understand? And I said that with a heavy heart. And I said, what would I do?
Yeah, I feel that from you, Brother Paul. I feel that from you, man.
No, yeah. I said that with a heavy heart because I tried to put I know he's having a child and he's young, and I tried to put myself in his position. You know, you call yourself whatever you call yourself, but the reality of it is the people you're dealing with, they will just kill you at the drop of a hat. Mm. They don't care. And then I thought about my position in the West, in England, what I'm up against. And then I thought, well, I'm not up against anything that what he's up against. I'm just not, no matter how I speak. I mean, you know, you come on the radio, we speak as we want, we say what we want. Sometimes we say a lot of rubbish. But the truth of the matter is that we can say it. Mm-hmm. Right there on the African continent, in many places, they have no say. No say. Yeah? I ain't making this up, Baba Ochi. And if anyone thinks I'm making this up, he's available to speak on your platform and tell you what's happening him anytime whenever you're ready. You know, I often feel, right, there's a few conversations going on. There's one conversation which is like, I call it the tourist conversation, you know, where the tourists go, they have a little look, they dip their toe in. Oh, look at that. Look at the tourist brochure. And then they come out and they tell the world how great this is.
Right.
But the reality to me, is something totally different, you know, what I'm hearing from what I call the tourists.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and that's like what I always say. Sometimes I feel, in all honesty, you need to have authenticity and speak to the people who are being actually affected instead of people speaking on their behalf. I think that's really condescending when people speak on other people's behalf and claim that they know and they don't really live the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely condescending. And many ain't going to like to hear that because many, the egos are so inflated that sometimes when you tap that ego, they get upset with you. But I'm not really bothered about that because I'm not one to care for that. So, you know, Baba Ochi, I plead with you humbly and respectfully because this is the African perspective, yeah?
Ashe, go ahead.
You know, to maybe make some time to hear from our young brothers and sisters who are actually on the continent, who are going through hell on the continent. And let them explain what's happening to them and how they are being treated.
I would love
by the people who look like them.
Mm-hmm. I would love to. I would love to hear from brothers and sisters in areas of the continent, you know, that are whose leadership has been misleadership and how they're trying to deal with it and try to correct wrongs and so forth and to guide it. But some of those leaders have been in power 10, 20, 30, 40 years or more. They're deeply entrenched. They are supported by colonizers or outside interests big time. And just as you said, you know, they would eliminate you. You know, they don't give a damn. They don't care about the future. They care about themselves right now. That's what that's about.
Yeah, and I honestly think on a more progressive note, I honestly think that you know, there are some callers who could help them and advise them. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is how we help this. You know, because, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you may think that the grass is greener when you leave that place. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, and come to the West and you think that the green is grasser. Maybe sometimes it is. Maybe sometimes if you get the right foot in, it is. But, you know, it's not as it looks. You know that, you know, coming to these places is not as, you know, and some of them, while they're in that position, they tend to think that.
Well, you know, you just mentioned, you said people who are tourists, when they come to, there's no place like America to come to as a tourist. It will wow the shit out of you. But you don't see the underbelly. You don't see all the evilness that this country perpetuates. You don't see that. You don't see how it really treats its citizens. You don't see the divisions. You don't see how immigrants and indigenous people are treated. You don't go to the reservations. You don't go to the hood areas. You see the glitz and the glamour. You see Vegas Strip. You see Hollywood Boulevard. You see the bright lights of Manhattan. You see all of that. But you don't see the real United States of America and how evil this country truly is and how it manipulates other countries. America is the military arm of white supremacy. If you have a government in your country that is tied to a European government and they running stuff, that's white supremacy. Nowhere else on the planet do you see that happening except through Europeans. You don't see some people from Taiwan controlling something that's happening in Belgium. You don't see Chinese. Now, Chinese are on the continent. There's no doubt about it. And Chinese, some of the people on the continent that are Chinese are wrong. But most of the people on the continent that are Chinese are trying to do something to benefit themselves or benefit the country that they're dealing with. They're building wells, they're building infrastructure and so forth, you know, and that's what's necessary.
So, Baba, on that note, right, we're running on the edge of time. So on that note, Baba Ochi, I just say this and plead, just make a humble and respectful plead for those to recognize that promoting a tourist brochure is not Africa. That ain't Africa. Africa is real and the people are real, living a real life. And all the things you say, you have just said, is the truth. Absolutely truth. So the last thing, Baba Ochi, you know, please, when you get an opportunity, make some time. And I will make the time to bring in our young brothers and sisters who are living in Tanzania, Namibia, Uganda, K- Kenya, anywhere you want, I'll bring them and get them to you, mm-hmm. so you can speak to them and people can hear how they're living.
Right on. I look forward to it, Brother Paul. Believe me.
Thank you.
All right. Peace to you, my friend. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a great week. Have a great week. Be safe. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day. See you back here on Wednesday, I hope. All right, family. Peace.